Good morning, everybody. I saw Sheila on Friday, one of our church members. She came to coffee morning. She said, "I'm all discombobulated." It's a really good word, isn't it? Discombobulated. And it's really funny being over this side of the sanctuary. I'm not used to standing here. I'm a creature of habit. I'm always over there. But the reason is because we've been blessed. We've been blessed by God gives us different gifts. And Wayne and Paula are with us at the moment. Their excuse is they're looking after Dee's cat while she's away on holiday. But really, they love to be here, and we love to have them. And so Wayne is going to be leading our son worship today with Claire and Andrew and the team. And we've got Debbie and Helen for the first time working with our children. All sorts of things are happening today. We've got visitors from Wolverhampton and other places. And this is a special moment. And as I've often said before, have a quick look round, because this particular group of people will never be together again until heaven. You realize that? There are people here who are only here today. They won't be coming back. They won't be coming when the people from Wolverhampton are here. Won't be coming when David's here. And so have a good look. Make the most of this opportunity. Give them a smile. If you cross now, you've got a long way to heaven to make it up. And if you can stay afterwards, just to spend a few moments saying hi. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege, the blessing of being able to come here today. As has already been prayed in our pre-service prayer time, we don't have to worry about the doors being locked. We don't have to worry about authorities coming to close us down. Members of our church are not in prison. We are free to come, and by your grace, you've drawn us. Thank you for those who've made technology happen, that the people can be here online. People can listen to the service later in the week. Thank you that you've drawn us to yourself, and we never want to take it for granted. Draw us closer to you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Amen. Just a couple of notices. Firstly, Dawn at the back has moved house. Yay! So if you want to know where she lives, you can all turn up at the same time demanding cake. Have a word with Dawn, that'd be lovely. I mentioned about time of recovery last week. And Joan Young wants to say thank you for your prayers. Operation went well on Friday. She's already home. She's in recovery. She's doing well. She felt covered by your prayers. Wonderful. We also have this beautiful lady who doesn't like attention, but she's getting it. I said to David, "Your hair looks beautiful, Rowena. It's been redone just for us." So can we have a round of applause for Rowena, please? We've missed you, and it's just so good to have you here. Want to encourage you. A lot of you will have heard already, but we spoke last week about it's either going to be a miracle for myself. There were loads of tumors all through the body, but I'm still all right. Or there were none, no more. No more new tubes. And the news on Wednesday was miraculously, in the last 6 months, this highly aggressive cancer has progressed no further with no more new tumors at all. The miracle phase two. Last year, there were clear scans. This year, this has now happened. Miracle phase three is when this finally goes. There are two here in the lungs that are still there that have grown a bit, but they're not stopping what God is doing. So the time of recovery that we are in, individually as a church, is ongoing. And God is on the move. And we give him all the praise and glory. So, Wayne, over to you.
Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be here. By the time you get to the end of the service, you might be glad I'm only here for today. But we will meet again, I'm sure. It's lovely to be here. Give this wonderful man of God a break this week. He has moved across to the other side. It's a real pleasure to work with Claire and with Andrew. Andrew's played our wedding hymn today in the intro. He didn't know, so thank you for that. Yes, we're from Toaster in North Hampshire. Paul is sitting over with Richard. We're in a tiny little Toaster Hub Church, 25 of us, is a church plant from Milton Keynes, full of the Spirit, and God really has blessed us in that place. And yes, we are here to look after Dee's house, but more importantly, the cat. And we just pray that she comes back really refreshed from her trip with her brother to Cyprus. So I just want you to sit for just a few moments. Put down your baggage. Any distractions that you've brought with you this morning. Might be health. Might be your work. Or lack of work. Could be finance. Relationships. What are you having for Sunday dinner? Let's sweep those away. Let's put them at the foot of the cross. When you leave here, maybe God sorted them for you. Welcome the Lord. Some words from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen. Let's stand and sing and welcome the Lord to this service this morning.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here. Let your breath come from heaven, fill our hearts with your light. We are here for you. We are here for you.
To you.
To you our hearts are open, nothing here is hidden. You are our one. Times where we do need you. You can administer to us this morning, maybe through song, maybe through word, maybe through a prayer. We cry out to you this morning that you are so welcome here, Lord. We bless you. Thank you. Behold, he comes, riding on a cloud, shining like the sun, at the trumpet call.
Jesus said when he came to Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee." We are living in the year of Jubilee. This is the year of the salvation of the Lord. We are declaring the word of the Lord today that sets the captives free, that releases the oppressed, that is good news to the poor and recovery of sight to the blind. Lord God, we pray by your Holy Spirit, may we proclaim your word with power and authority to set the captives free, to release the oppressed, to bring glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to take up our offering, and it's so that the word of God will go out. So if you've come prepared to give, great. Let's take it up now. Lord, you've said to us, the harvest is coming. Build bigger barns. We pray these gifts will be used to build bigger barns, to prepare a place, to gather in the harvest. Amen. Next Sunday, we have Remembrance Sunday, when we remember particularly those who have suffered in war, still suffering in war, and particularly those who've given their lives to save others. Those who've given their lives follow in the example of Jesus Christ. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We remember this sacrifice as we come to our time of communion. That at just the right time, Christ died for sinners. And to prepare us to remember, we're going to be led by our team with our next song.
You look at the cross and it blows my mind every time that he could have got down. He could have got down, but he didn't. He didn't for us. He stayed there. He took the pain and the suffering. We're going to prepare our hearts and our minds for the communion table. And we're going to sing When I Survey.
Of glory died.
could our stewards join us, please, who's serving today? Thank you, have a seat. Thank you. We're using some different words for our service today, surrounding our communion meal, but the center of our meal remains the same, that of doing this in remembrance of Him. Everyone is invited to the meal, and if you want to say, yes, I want to remember what Jesus has done on the cross, which we've just been singing about, I want to say thank you for what He's done for the world and for me, then share in the meal. Claire, if we could have our PowerPoint up, please. Some words for you to join in today with, in the bold type, which we'll see in a moment. The next one, thank you. God has made us a people. Jesus calls us together.
We meet
in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together.
And leads us
into truth. Here is the Lord's table, spread as for a feast, bread for breaking, wine poured for drinking, signs of His love and His hospitality, symbols of His life broken, His blood poured out. He is not dead. He is risen and present among us, evident of God's covenant grace and promise. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey. Some of us are fresh and eager. Others are weary, in need of nourishment. All of us are conscious of our failings. We can confess and be forgiven. Let's just spend a moment allowing the Holy Spirit to put His finger on anything in us that is not right between us and God. Lord, we line up, we confess that we have sinned. We have ignored You. We have hurt You. We have gone our own way. But thank You for Your invitation to come, confess, and be forgiven and free. We come to You, Jesus, and we say sorry. We say thank You for staying on the cross that we might be forgiven. Cover us with Your blood now, we pray. Cleanse us, make us new. Amen. So, forgiven and free, we can come to this table. Don't hesitate. The feast is ready, and it's the Lord Himself who invites you to share in this meal. We have some more words for us to join in And we'll be joining in with all the words which are up on the screen coming up. Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise. Your covenant of grace was made for our salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. We come this day to covenant with you and with companion disciples to watch over each other and to walk together before you in ways known and still to be made known. Pour your Spirit upon us. Help us so to walk in your ways that the promises we make this day and the life that we live together may become an offering of love, our duty and delight, truly glorifying to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. This day, we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other, to be bound together in fellowship and to work together in the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God's mission. In our congregation, in local partnerships, in our Southwest Baptist Association, and in our wider Baptist Union, we commit all that we have and are to fulfill God's purpose of love. As a sign of this covenant, we have an opportunity to share the peace of God. This is something we haven't done for a long time. And depending upon your tradition in other churches, particularly in the Anglican Church, it's maybe something you've done every week, but it's something we very rarely do in an organized way, is to share the peace. But we're going to do that now. That word peace, shalom, is the most beautiful word. Health, well-being, wholeness, completeness. The peace that the world cannot give. In the name of Jesus, that's the peace I want you to offer to one another. Some of you might want to get up. Some of you will just sit down and wait for people to come to you. We don't need to make it a long time. But just that opportunity to bless somebody with the peace of the Lord. Let's do that now. Peace be with you. Let's come to. I think we're hungry and thirsty for peace, aren't we? Isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? You don't just need to, we don't just have the opportunity to do that in this moment. At any point, at any time, blessing one another with the peace of Jesus is something we clearly need to do more of. It was the night of the Passover, and Jesus and his friends were sharing supper together. While they were eating, he told them that one of them would betray him. They were appalled and protested, saying, "Not I, Lord, I would never betray you." Jesus took some bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Take it, eat it." He took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he passed it among them, saying as they drank it, "This is my blood of the covenant. It is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. I will not drink it again until the day comes when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Creating and redeeming God, we give you thanks and praise for your covenant of grace, a covenant expressed in sinful people who know forgiveness, the weary who are refreshed, the hungry who are nourished, the captives who are set free, and the oppressed who experience liberation. Thank you that you chose to make us a part of your story. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who revealed your love in his death and resurrection, and continues to share his life with us through bread and wine. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, who sustains us in our walk together, helping us to watch over each other, to pray for one another, and work together for justice and truth. As we eat this bread and drink from the cup, signs of hospitality and grace, may we be empowered to serve boldly wherever you may call. Accept these prayers and our heartfelt thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. David and Janine will bring round the cups which have bread on the top. We'll eat the bread as we receive it, and then hold on to the cups, and we drink together as a sign of our unity. The bread that I'm breaking is gluten-free bread, and if anyone would like the gluten-free bread, raise your hand nice and high in a moment, and I'll come down and bring it to you so we can all participate in this meal together. The bread. One people, one loaf, a sign of our common faith and testimony to the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take this loaf, food for faith, and feed on it with thanksgiving. Thank you. One people, one cup, a sign of the new covenant poured out for you and for many. It's a covenant sealed by his blood. When we drink, we must be thankful and agree together never to forget. Nourished and had our thirst quenched through bread broken and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son Jesus Christ. Send us out to be as generous to those we meet this week, that we might show through word and deed that he is not dead, but risen and present among us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When we come together, we listen to the word of the Lord. And it's great that we can hear in different ways. And today, Debbie, Helen, and Charlie are working with our children. And we're going to bless them now so that they might hear the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you for our children of all ages, particularly those who now are going to be working with our team. We pray that they would hear you speaking, and this word would create faith and strengthen them. Amen. Our children are obviously multiplying. There's two there I didn't see earlier. I don't know where they sprung from. We pray that God would send us children soon. We've got them, so what a joy. I've come back to the communion table for our short time of intercession, praying for others, because it seems to be the right place to pray. Our communion offering today, which is, there's a box outside, if we have an extra offering if people want to at communion, to in thanks for what God has done for them, to give. And the recipient this week, this month, is Christian Solidarity Worldwide, an organization that was formed to support Christians who are persecuted across the world. I believe the origins came when a head of police said if he persecuted Jews, he got into trouble with the Jews. If he persecuted Muslims, he got in trouble with the Muslims. But if he persecuted Christians, nobody mattered, nobody cared. And the founder thought that something needs to be done about that. And so Christianity Solidarity Worldwide. So we're encouraged in the Bible to remember. There's only a few times in the New Testament it talks about remembering. And one of them says this in Hebrews 13:3, shortly after the reading we're going to be hearing when Philip preaches. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners. And those who are ill-treated, as if you yourselves were suffering. They're very easy words to read, aren't they? They're hugely powerful. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. I think we probably have quite a lot to learn as a church as to how we pray for brothers and sisters who are persecuted, and I'm sure over the coming year or so God will teach us. It was lovely having put this in the service today to get a message from David and Valerie saying today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. Could we do something? And I said, it's already in the order of service. Isn't that great? So we can pray. And we often pray very generally because we don't have much information, perhaps. And I thought we would do something specific today in terms of our praying. This is from Christian Solidarity Worldwide, their prayer diary, thinking of North Korea. What does church look like in North Korea? There are a small number of churches in Pyongyang, but these exist largely for propaganda. Only a select group is allowed to attend, such as foreigners or those known to be loyal to the regime. In the words of a North Korean defector, they're fake. Totally fake. Our research shows there is some kind of underground church, but it's not like other countries. It's understood that groups operate on a very small scale, a handful of people, or even just within families, and a high level of secrecy. One expert we interviewed said that from his experience, North Korean Christians are not waiting for the current regime to blow over and find a more suitable time to be a Christian. It's not going anywhere soon, this regime. So how can we pray for the safety and encouragement of Christians in North Korea and for those who've managed to escape? That China would stop illegally repatriating North Korean refugees, returning to certain danger. For the immediate unconditional release of all currently detained in prison camps. And there are three people. And as I say these names, you might want to think, I'm going to remember this one. There are three South Korean missionaries who are serving life sentences in North Korea. They're detained incommunicado. We know nothing about them. Pray urgently for their whereabouts to be made known. There is Pastor Kim Jung-wook. Kim Jung-wook. There is Pastor Kim Cook-kai. Cook-kai. And there is Pastor Choi Chung-gul. Choi Chung-gul. The first was arrested October 2013. The second, October 2014. The third, December 2014. It's 11 years and 10 years with no word. And pray for an end to the violent, targeted persecution of Christians across the nation. Although all religions and beliefs are repressed under the Kim regime, Christianity is particularly targeted. There's lots of information there. The Holy Spirit will remind you of whatever you need to pray for. So let's pray specifically for God's power in this place.
Representing the Baptist missionaries.
thank you.
And your work. So, Father, we know that there are Christians in that country risking their lives every day to bring your word to such an oppressed group of people. And we pray for everyone for protection and safety while they're in that country doing what you have called them to do.
Thank you.
Father, protect them, we pray.
Father, we pray for all Christians in North Korea, and we pray today you would give them peace, the peace of the Lord. We shared the peace together here. Will you give them that peace in their hearts by your Spirit? Will you give them fortitude in the face of so much danger? Will you give them your love in abounding amount, that it may quietly overflow from their lives and touch others with your grace, as is their heart's desire. For we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I would particularly pray for the children of Christian parents, because they are so often ostracized for school. They're teased and tormented or ignored. And so I just ask that you will surround them with your love, and that you would perhaps change the hearts of those who would treat them so badly. And so we just pray that these children of Christian parents might grow up strong in their faith, knowing that you are always with them, and that you will never leave them or forsake them.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Heavenly Father, we just bring to you all the nations where we live under the repressive regimes, where Christianity and Christians are outcast for. No matter what these people undergo, however they suffer, they will still not renounce their faith in you. We also ask your blessing upon those who work in these countries, such as Christian Solidarity Worldwide representatives, open doors, volunteers, trust, that they have to work, putting their lives at great risk at times. Lord, we just pray that they will be able to do their work and ask them more power to their children. Lord, in Jesus' name we ask this.
Amen. Specifically for Kim Jernwook, Kim Cook Kai, Choi Jungle. They are known to you. We know that Joseph was there many years, 14 years, hidden. But you remembered Joseph. And you remember these men. Pray your comfort for their families. We pray for the comfort for these men, and that they will come in to the light. You will bring out the captives. You will release the oppressed. To the glory of your name. Amen. Thank you. Jean, could you come up for us? And Philip, would you like to come up? Pray for you both. Father, we thank you for your word that Jean is going to read and that Philip is going to expand. We thank you that your word brings life and creates faith and understanding. Pray we will be inspired today by your Spirit as we hear your word. Amen.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Stephen. And we hold him before you now, O Lord. You have promised that whatever two or three or more agree together and ask in prayer, you hear and you answer. And we all here together now agree to ask you for the complete healing and wholeness of Stephen. Lord, may your Holy Spirit fall upon him afresh now. And may he know your healing power flowing through him.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you.
Right, so our reading this morning is from Hebrews chapter 12, which is on page 1210 in the Church Bibles. And I'm beginning at the first verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witness, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined? And everyone undergoes discipline. Then you are not legitimate, not true sons of God, if you are not disciplined. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word, for the power of your word, for the way in which you speak to us through that word. Speak now, O Lord, and grant that we may hear and receive from you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. From the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the first verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Friday was All Saints' Day. I wonder if I asked you if you'd ever seen a saint, what you would say. If you think you've not, look around, because the church is full of saints. We are reminded that we are the company of saints. For saints are not just those who are named or those who are in stained glass windows. The company of saints is each and every one of us that looks to Christ, that has given our lives to Christ and looks for his leading and his guiding. we are told first to rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. We know that this means sin, and so easily that gets in the way. But we have to ask ourselves more, what are the other things that get in the way? Sin, as I've said, is rebellion against God. And we all say and hold to us so tightly something that we need to be free of, and yet we are not. It's still there. And it's there because of our doubts. At times we begin to ask questions, things that happen to us that can cause us to question, is God in this? Why did God allow this to happen to me? I used to be a hospice chaplain, and very often that question would come up. Why did God allow this to happen to me? And I found myself that God impressed on me that there was another question to ask. Why shouldn't it happen to me? Why do we feel because we are Christians, we should be in some way excluded from these sort of things? And the answer is in the Bible, that God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And God is saying to us then, whatever happens, I am in this. And doubts are things that that often cause us to look away from God. And yet the Bible, as I've said, talks of the rain falling on the just and the unjust. And then there's wanting our own way. How many of us are like that, thinking we know best? If we're not careful, we can take that one step further and think we know better than God. We know what should be happening. Have you not heard people who have said, if I were God, I wouldn't have done this. And sometimes you want to say, well, I thank God you're not him then. And we need to look and know that in whatever happens, God is there. And then we talk of running with determination the race that lies before us. In other words, if we are saying we are followers of Jesus, we look to him and we run with determination. Have you ever noticed, perhaps sometimes on the television, when there are athletics, you can look at the face of those who are competing as they're waiting for the start, and there is a look of determination, of single-mindedness. Nothing will put them off. Are we like that in our Christian faith? Are we single-minded? Are we determined that whatever the Lord calls us to, we will follow him? Don't know about you, but looking at the example of an athlete, I've never really been that athletic. I once, there was an inter-church sports evening, and I was in the high jump. And when I got home, my mother said, where did you finish? I said, well, there were two of us, and I won. And she looked amazed. She said, you won? I said, yes, well, I'll tell you what happened. Neither of us cleared it. So they tossed a coin, and I called heads, and heads came out. We have to be careful. And our Christian journey at times demands that determination. We are not put off easily. I don't know about you, but as we were praying for those Christians who are imprisoned because of their faith, I got the picture in my mind that though they were imprisoned, it couldn't stop them sharing with their fellow prisoners their faith. They are wanting still others to know of Jesus. And even whatever the consequences for them might be, they are not put off. How easily are we put off? Our Christian journey at times demands that determination, that we are not put off easily. I was listening to a story the other day on the radio, and it was the story about a child, a little boy, building a sandcastle. And he started to build it, and he got a clear picture in his mind of how he wanted this sandcastle to be. And so he worked hard at it, and it began to rain. And suddenly the rain came heavier and heavier. And his mother said, "Let's get home, we'll be wet through." And he said, "No, I haven't built it yet. I came here to build this sandcastle, and I'm going to do it whatever the weather." Is our determination to share our faith like that? Are we determined and willing to do so? You may say, and a lot of people say, "But I can't easily talk and share my faith." And it isn't always words. Sometimes it's actions. I'm not blowing my own trumpet, so don't get it wrong, but it's just an illustration. When I was in the process of candidating for the ministry, it meant that for a year I had to look for an alternative job to what I was doing. And so I managed to get work at the British Shoe Corporation warehouse in Leicester. And the work was 12 midday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. You were finished then. And having been in the retail trade, every weekend was like a bank holiday after that. Finish Friday and not start back till the next Monday. But I was there, and one day a man came up to me and said, "Can I talk to you, Philip? We were working together." And I said, "Yes, sure." He said, "I want to talk to you about my sister and the problems she's got." And I said to him, "Well, why have you come to me? Why do you want to talk to me about it?" He said, "Well, you're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yes." I said, "How did you know?" He said, "I've watched you. And we got a Jehovah Witness who was working with us." He said, "You're not like him, trying to ram something down your throat, but ready to grab everything that comes along." He said, "I've noticed the way you do things. And that has been, to me, a witness that I could come and talk to you." We don't realize just how much people at times are watching us. And sometimes it isn't the words, it's the things we do and the way we do them. And there is that saying at times that actions speak louder than words. And that can be true at times within our Christian witness. And so we are called to run with determination. When I said yes to Jesus, I was determined to do whatever he called me to do. And when he called me to be a minister, that was a big shock to Pauline, because she never visualized herself as a minister's wife. There's a nod of agreement there. But when the Lord calls, the Lord equips. And together, I believe God has blessed us and used us as a team in the ministry to which he has called us. And then thirdly, if we are to run with determination, we are also to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. It is Jesus who calls us, and it is Jesus who we follow. He never lost sight of the cross. The cross was before him, and he knew that one day that would be his fate. Picture it, that every day in Jesus' time, as he walked around, there would be public executions. Crucifixions were not rare occasions. They were almost daily happenings. And he could walk and he could see somebody nailed to a cross and be reminded that one day that is what God wants of me. What an agony to look at it. It has been described as the cruelest form of public execution there has been, and it still happens today. Just picture it for a moment, what crucifixion is. You are nailed to a cross. The cross is lifted and it's put into the ground. And then there is the agony of the weight of the body on the nails and trying to ease the pain is almost impossible, and gradually the lungs begin to fill with fluid. And that is the way you die on the cross. And he would have seen the cross and knew that this was his heavenly Father's will for him, and yet he faced it. He endured it. Do we follow his example? Do we look to whatever he is calling us to do? It may be we don't always find it easy. But the thing is that as we look to him, so he enables us to be able to do all that he calls us to face. Saints are those who dedicate their lives. So have we rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way. Sometimes there are points where we don't want to let go of everything. I remember some years ago now, Pauline and I were ministering to a lady at the church, and her eyesight was failing and she was going blind, and she asked for prayer, and gradually there seemed to be a change coming. And one day she said to us, "I don't want you to pray for me anymore. I don't want healing. And when we asked her why, she said, well, I've realised as my eyesight is, I get a lot of financial benefit and I don't want to lose that. Sometimes the challenge is such that it means a complete change. To be able to see, I would have given up anything if my eyesight was going. Wouldn't have wanted money instead. But that was agreed with her and her husband. So we look at this passage and we are reminded as well that often in the things we are facing, God disciplines us. We perhaps don't like the thought of that, but God wants us to follow him. And sometimes in order to do that, we need to be disciplined. Any of you who are parents will know there have been times when you have needed to discipline your children. And if you think back to your own childhood, there's been times when you too, and I too, have been needed to be disciplined. And that has been good. Sometimes when we've been told, no, don't do that, that has been a changing point within our lives. And to be disciplined by God means that we open our lives to him and say, have your way, O Lord. We have been reminded we are part of a great crowd of witnesses, of saints, and we are called to throw off everything that hinders us and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Again, going back to our prayers of those pastors who are imprisoned because of their faith. One, as I've said, still sees them running that race and sharing their faith. And we're called to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. It is Jesus who leads us. It is Jesus who enables us, who powers us, who calls us. May we be listening. May we be ready. And may we be willing to follow and keep our eyes fixed on him in order that whatever he wants may be done. Amen.
Thank you, Philip. The simplicity last week, I said to David Burrows, if you want to be joyful, do what Jesus tells you. The simplicity of today's message is do what Jesus tells you. Fix your eyes on him. We're going to finish our service with our next hymn in a moment, which will be Trust and Obey. And the chorus is really simple, isn't it? Trust Jesus, obey Jesus. The only way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. And what I'd like to encourage you to do is, if you're able to stand. And we'll do that now, if I can ask you to stand. And through the words of the song, in this moment, you have your own decision to make. Do you trust Jesus? Will you obey Jesus? Lord, you're speaking to each one of us. calling us to trust you, to obey you, to follow you. Come what may, because you love us, and complete joy is there for those who trust you and obey you. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to respond. Thank you. You in response to today's service would appreciate having somebody to pray with you, pray through something. There's a team here at the front after the service who are available to do that, to come alongside. If you want a time for reflective worship tonight, we've got our once a month service tonight led by the home group that meets at Peter Bottle's house. Be a special time. If you're able to join us, that would be lovely. Now receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.